She don't play by the rules. She like to be free. Don't give a damn what you say. She say I like to be me. People look at her and they wonder why she did it. She the coolest. That's the reason.
Okay, so imagine this: taking a vacation or a holiday, say more than once a year. So how does that sound to you? Science tells us that we cope better when we have a vacation or a holiday to look forward to. The problem is that we often run into is, what are we going to do when we get there? Where are we going to go? And of course, the biggest question, how much is this going to cost me? Can I afford it? I know how you feel. I've been welcome to a quick trip with the coolest chick where you're going to meet some interesting people, doing some interesting things in travel, and you're also going to learn some really cool travel tips and tricks so that you can plan your next quick getaway, and hopefully you have one maybe twice, three times a year or more. I personally, if I could travel once a month or once every other month. So I'm your host, Terica, the coolest chick you'll ever meet. And today in this episode, I am interviewing Kelsey Horton, who is the founder and CEO of Yacht Week East Africa. So let's give him a round of applause.
Thank you.
You like my clap?
Yeah, I like that.
Okay, so this is episode one. Kelsey is gracious enough to trust me to do this interview with me, and I'm so grateful. And not only that, he is Chicago born and raised.
That's right, Chicago born and raised.
Which side? You know that matters.
Oh, it definitely matters. South side,
okay.
Chicago. Yes,
South side. I'm South side born and raised too. That's why we connected.
Absolutely.
Okay, so you, and where are you? Because right now you're 8 hours, it's 8 hour difference between you and I.
So right. I'm actually, right at this moment, I'm actually in Chicago. Yes, I'm in Chicago. But I have a place in Africa, in South Africa. And so I spend significant time on that side. But at this point in time right now, I'm in Chicago.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about Kelsey. Who is Kelsey Horton?
Yes, of course. Yes. As you mentioned, Chicago, South Side, born and bred. A little bit after high school, I spent some time on the East Coast, in the D.C., Maryland, Virginia area. And that's where I started my career. I started my career in finance. So by trade, per my education, it's finance related, economics and finance. And then it was always, fast forwarding a bit, it was always a goal of mine to live in Africa. The work I was doing in D.C. did allow me to travel the world. I was able to just see the world through my work, and I spent significant time in Africa and traveling to different countries and fell in love with it. And even before that, growing up in Chicago, I was around people who were pan-African, who were pro-black. They were like really very much into the African experience and African traditions and culture, and would travel there and come back and give me all the stories. And so later in my career, I was super excited to be able to travel to Africa. And then in 2015, I had the opportunity to actually move to Africa. So yeah, I'm from Chicago, Black American, spent a lot of time abroad, spent a lot of time in Africa, mainly in Tanzania. And yeah, so that's what I'm about. Like I said, I do some finance work, but I'm also an entrepreneur and very much into the travel space. And those are things that I'm really into.
Okay, I heard you say you fell in love. You fell in love with Africa or travel or both?
Both. Yeah, like I consider myself an expert traveler. I've been able to see the world. I've stopped counting the countries. I've probably hit 60 countries, if not more. And there's still a lot more places to see, and I'm looking forward to that. But yes, I am into travel. I am into exploring cultures, and I'm fascinated by people. And the more different that the culture is, the better. I want to challenge, you know, my beliefs, my traditions, how I grew up, and juxtapose them with other cultures and experience them in that way. So I fell in love with travel, and then furthermore, I fell in love with Africa. Africa is just one of, you know, first of all, it's just so vast. I can't even explain just how huge it is, just how huge and large, how large it is, and just how much how beautiful it is. And then on top of that, it's just extremely peaceful and tranquil, and the people are great, the food is great, and you just feel, yeah, definitely, the food is great, people are great, And I feel at home. I feel at home when I'm in Africa. And yeah, so I definitely fell in love with the experience over there. And I've been committed to creating experiences that brought people, more people, especially my brothers and sisters back home to Africa, for whether it's vacation, work, entrepreneurial ventures, or holiday, like you mentioned, whatever it may be, or to fully just relocate. I've had a lot of people who have actually, from coming to visit me, they've relocated to the continent. So that's also super exciting too.
Okay, so let's transition from that. So you fell in love with Africa. Where does Yacht Week East Africa come in and come about? How is that born from your love of Africa and travel?
Yes, of course. It was Yacht Week East Africa was a flex a little bit against, there are other yachting type experiences that take place in other parts of the world, particularly in Europe. And I've been to that Yacht Week experience and yachting experience, and it was great and had fun and enjoyed it. And they were also expanding and to other parts of the world, but they were overlooking Africa. Africa just wasn't on their radar as far as where they thought that they can bring the event. And so I had already had some experience with sailing and yachting, even from back in the day. My mom had friends with boats on Lake Michigan, and maybe a couple times I experienced it then. And then fast forward, when I moved to Tanzania, Tanzania has a sailing culture. And yeah, there's a sailing culture. And I was in Dar es Salaam, which is right on the coast. And there's like a huge sailing culture, and me and friends would spend time sailing and yachting, and I really kind of got into it. And yeah, and then you marry the fact that I'm peeping that the European companies aren't really checking for Africa like that. And I married that with my entrepreneurial and finance background, and then created, and then my desire to want to bring people to Africa, and then Yacht Week East Africa was born. And so now that's how it kicked off.
How many years have you, or how long has Yacht Week East Africa, has it been going? How long have you
been? Yeah, it's been the very first voyage was in 2017. So that's 4 years. So about 4 years.
Okay. And so how was it, hard or easy for you to get people to come? As an American in the U.S., we see, I know better because I'm an adult now, but the pictures and how Africa is depicted for us. We see hungry children. We see the flies. We see the lion. You see the Serengeti. You see the desert. You don't think that there is, you know, real life over there, that you can go over there and have fun, that it's beautiful. So how was it, hard? Was it easy for you to get people to get on, to be a part of this trip?
I know exactly what you're talking about. I remember being a kid and seeing the dollar a day. For a dollar a day, you can do X, Y, Z, all of this. I was fortunate enough to have elders in my community and people around me that were visiting Africa and taught me different from a young age. So that was one thing. But fast forward, I've started the event, and now I'm looking for people to come over. I think that the perception around Africa has changed over time. I think slowly but surely, as we as a people have progressed and are able to travel and see the world and get our passport stamped, and with the advent of the internet and Google, you can Google image Zanzibar, for instance, and just see the beauty, and it looks nothing like they were telling us in the dollar a day commercials. So I think the education, don't get me wrong, there's still some people that are asleep on Africa and have a perception, but I think especially, I would say, you know, maybe 8 years or so, there's been a black travel movement, and they're in travel, there's like the new club, and it's like more people, like that's the new flex. So people with that, more education around places to go. And so I think that when I was starting off, I think I used imagery and pictures to my advantage. Social media was very important. A vibrant website was very important. And you just needed to get a core group of people to come and enjoy it and experience it the first time, and then report out and post pictures. And then from there, it just got easier and easier each year for people to come out.
Okay. So Since you've said that, now walk us through a Yacht Week East Africa experience. What happened? So I go onto the website, which is
yachtweekea.com. Yes, yachtweekea.com.
So you go to the all the beautiful pictures, and now what?
Yep, you see all of the beautiful pictures, and then you say, and let's assume that you want to sail, that you want to go on a yachting trip, because there are yachting trips, and then there's also land-based trips for in Kenya as well as Tanzania. But the sailing and the yachting experience takes place in the Seychelles. And so, yeah, you would go on, and you immediately, I think clients immediately think about, oh, this looks great. Who am I going to go with? It's very much a kind of a crew trip, even though you can definitely come solo. We have couples that come. We have full groups that come. And so it's an experience where it's very much like it's one whole Yacht Week experience, but then each yacht is its own experience, right? Based on your crew and the vibe of your crew and the boat mates that you have. And that's very diverse, right? We have yachts of people that are just on super chill mode and just kind of want to relax and put their feet up and just chill. And then you have others where it's like total party boat, you know what I mean? So it just kind of depends. And then we've had sorority or fraternity boats that they were representing that vibe. We've had a Chicago boat, a Detroit boat, the New York boat, the LA boat. And it's so you have these different vibes on each one. But again, each yacht is 8 people on each yacht. You can also come, like I said, solo or as a couple, and you'll just be paired with others. So back to going to the site, you would book either solo or with friends. And then, and then you can pay over time as well. So you try to make that easy. The payment process really easy. And then when the trip comes, it's a 10-day experience, right? That's kind of first and foremost, if you're going to come all that way, you have to at least, even when people would come and visit me, I would always recommend that you have to at least stay 10 days. It's going to take you a day or so just to get over the jet lag, but with the time difference and everything. But so it's a 10-day experience, 2 days on land, where you just explore the city, get into some cultural activities, hit the nightlife, and just get yourself settled after traveling from stateside to East Africa. Mm-hmm. And then we board the yachts. Then it's 7 days on the yacht. There's a captain on each yacht that navigates the yacht. There's a personal chef that prepares the meals. Ooh. And then you are there with your boat crew, with your great food and your chef preparing it, with your music, with your favorite drink, and you're just vibing out and just enjoying the different locations that we stop at every day. Like every day or every other day, we're at a new location. We sail from island to island. So that's how it goes.
Okay, so how many yachts have you had out at one time?
The maximum I've had out were 13 yachts.
And so everyone's just yachting together, just sailing together next to each other. So you yell like, hey, girl, and everybody can party together. Yeah,
exactly. We imagine we're just one yacht, entourage of yachts sailing from island to island. Some of the islands are inhabited and have like a full like town on the island. Others are uninhabited and it's just we have the island to ourselves. So we just go as an entourage, as a whole fleet together from location to location.
Okay, and if I wanted to do it with my crew, we can book our own yacht. If it's up to 8, if it's more, they just get their own yacht and we don't have to bring food. Because there's a chef, but all of that's included in the price.
There's an amount that you have to pay for your groceries. So when you first arrive, everyone puts up for groceries, and then the chef goes and does all the grocery shopping, and then every day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner is prepared.
Okay, so tell me, what is a must-see spot that you think when someone comes and they've never been to East Africa, you're like, you must see this. And what is an experience? I'm all about the experience. So what's an experience that you're like, if you're here, you have to experience this before you leave or you'll never be the same?
Sure, no problem. First of all, I think it's important to set the stage of what East Africa entails, because it is a huge region that includes multiple countries. So you're going to have the main countries of East Africa are going to include Kenya, Tanzania, and then you also have Uganda and Rwanda. And then you can also include Burundi in there as well. So that's Kenya, Tanzania, Uganda, Rwanda, Burundi. So it's like a East Africa network. Then those would be the countries. And then also off the mainland, you would have Seychelles. The Seychelles is also part of the East Africa network. Now, each one of those countries has something great to offer. My heart is in Tanzania because that's where I spent years living. And it's so beautiful and amazing. And if I was having someone come over to visit East Africa, and you could only choose one place, it would be Tanzania, with a couple of days on the mainland in the city of Dar es Salaam. But the real jewel, the real recommendation is really Zanzibar. Zanzibar is a jewel. Zanzibar is beautiful. Zanzibar is unique. And you can have a varied experience there, from the magic of Stone Town, which is like a very old city with a lot of charm, to the beautiful beaches of Nungwi up in the north. And I would say that's one of the most amazing experiences is Zanzibar. If one has time, and I know there's a lot of interest in going on safari and checking out the Big Five and all of that, I would say that Ngoro Crater is an amazing experience. If you have time to check that out too, so that would be a safari experience, and it's this huge crater, natural crater, that you have to descend into, and it's just so much game there, and it's just mesmerizing to see.
Okay, when you say game, you mean animals, right?
Exactly.
are you in a like a cage and you're put down like on the grass and they walk around you and stuff? Is that what you mean?
No, you would actually be in a safari truck that you could seat up to 8 people, and then there's a road that you have to take down. I think there's multiple access points, but you take a road deep, you go down, and at the very bottom is just this huge landscape with just animals everywhere. Now in the safari truck, you're protected and everything, and they know how to drive and keep you safe and everything like that, but it's mesmerizing.
Now, you said the Big Five. What's that?
So there is, now you're really testing me here. Those are going to be the main animals that you will, or like the featured animals of any game park or any safari park. And so I know for sure that the lion is in there, lion, elephant, giraffe. And then there's 2 more. So don't quote me on that. The audience have to Google what the other 2 are. But those are the 3. It may be, I don't know, it may be zebra and, I don't know, rhinoceros. I'm not sure. But but definitely lion, elephant, giraffe.
Have you heard a lion roar? I've heard about the roar of a lion. And it's the ground rumbles. Like, you feel it when a lion really roars. Is that true? Do you know?
Yeah, it is. And I've been on safari so many times because people would come and visit me all the time, and then they would definitely want to go on safari. So I was kind of like forced to go on safari like over and over and over and over again. But it never got old. Like, it was still, I saw something new every time I went. And yes, if I know that one of the things that people look to see, it doesn't happen all the time, is to see the lion. If you can see a lion, that's amazing. And then, yes, it is the hear a lion roar. It is something to hear for sure. Some people like to want to see a kill, like a predator going after its prey. If you're into that type of thing, some people is into that and wants to see that.
See that on Discovery Channel. No. Okay, so back to Yacht Week. So it's 2 days, no, 3 days on land, right? No, 2
days on land, and then 2 days on land, and then 7 days on the yacht.
7 days on a yacht. So I've been cruising before. What? I love to cruise. And typically 5 days is enough for me. Have you run into an issue where some people have felt like, okay, 7 days may be too much, or 7 days is not enough? We needed more. So what is like where do you find the people that have come on the trips? How do they feel about that?
Yeah, I think that, so the original Yacht Week model, it's even built into the name, is that it's for a week, it's 7 days.
Right.
And so people like, that's what we design, a cool experience for that. Mm-hmm. Now, with that said, being on water is especially to someone who hasn't cruised before, or even on a yacht, is going to be a bit different from being on a cruise, because it's a smaller vessel and you're going to feel the water a little bit more. And that does take some getting used to. It definitely takes some getting used to. So what I do is I just try to make sure that, one, everybody is prepared and knows what to expect. Educate everyone as much as possible. Make sure that there's like little remedies for those that may get seasick or whatever. There's a lot of different remedies that you can buy and bring along to make sure you're good the whole time. But I think another really important aspect of Yacht Week is that we don't spend the whole time on the yachts. It's critical that we spend, when we get to a location, you have the opportunity to get off and be on land. And then it's not just yachting. It's beach time. The beach is your thing, that's great. If you want to go hiking, then you could do that. If you're into waterfalls, you could go visit a waterfall. If you do want to do fishing or snorkeling or those types of things, that's available. Hop on the jet skis, that's cool. So we try to diversify the experience as much as possible so you're not just on the yacht the whole time.
That's a lot of experiences that, honestly, I never thought I would experience in Africa, period.
Yeah,
so like I said, it's the imagery that we get that you don't know, that those opportunities and those experiences are there. So Tanzania, we know Tanzania is your baby. That's what you love. You love the city of Tanzania. What's your favorite dish? What's your favorite food?
So in Tanzania, probably they have a really good fish out there called sato, S-A-T-O, sato. Mm-hmm. So it's a fish that's found in what they call Lake Victoria, which is in the Mwanza area of Tanzania. So that fish is amazing. And then there's a sauce that they make in Tanzania called makange sauce that you add to the fish, which is really delicious. It's like a tomato base, kind of soy sauce, pepper, green pepper, onion type of vibe that's placed over the fish. Then you serve it with whatever, your rice or veggies or whatever. But you got to taste it. It's delicious. If you're ever in Tanzania, it's sato and makange sauce.
And makange sauce. I have to write that down because I'll definitely get it. Okay, so we're all living in a pandemic right now. How has COVID affected you, your traveling, along with Yacht Week East Africa?
How
have you been dealing with that?
COVID is no stranger to anyone, and we know what we've had to deal with, and it's affected so many industries in a different way, and especially travel. So the travel industry definitely took a hit, and so it caused us to have to postpone all of our 2020 trips. When it hit in 2020, we had trips lined up and people ready and enthusiastic to go. But there were all types of regulations and border closings and all of this stuff. So we had to just push everything to 2021. So that was definitely a hit. And it just forces you to reexamine, you know, your business and think about your next steps and just prepare yourself to make it through 2020. And then so you can come back stronger in 2021, which is what we're planning to do this year.
Okay. Did COVID hit Africa like it hit the Americas, the U.S.?
It did not. It did not. And I know a lot of people there were a lot of analysts and public health officials that had predicted that predicted the contrary. They thought that, oh, once it hits Africa, it's just going to ravage the continent. But to their surprise, it did not. Now, don't get me wrong, COVID is there, but nowhere near the level of the U.S. And I think it's a couple reasons. I think, one, there was more travel in and out of the U.S. than from around the world than in Africa. There's some travel in Africa, but from around the world, but nowhere near as much as the U.S. That's one. Number two, Africa is not a stranger to pandemics. There have been other pandemics that, you know, that the healthcare systems in Africa have had to prepare for, and that they had some practice, if you will, around how to manage it. And I think a lot of African countries actually handled it well. Yeah, so it's, like I said, it's definitely there, and a lot of countries are recovering. I think at one point, the Seychelles, for instance, which is a country of islands, there's 115 islands, and there's only...
Really?
Yes, 115 islands, 90,000 people in the Seychelles. Right? Not only 90,000. You can imagine if there was a pandemic or some type of disease or something, it can wipe out the whole nation. So because of that, even well before COVID, they've already had protocol in place to manage pandemics and things like that. So when COVID came around, I think at the end of the day, I think at one point they had about 15 cases or something like that. So Africa actually has done, in general, of course, this is made up of different countries that are handling it in their own way. But overall, in general, I think it's been handled well.
Oh, that's good to know and good to hear. Earlier, you mentioned a few times that people come to see you. You're not an hour away or right around the corner. You're in Africa. How long is that plane ride, and what is the average plane ticket cost to fly over to Tanzania?
So I think as far as like our people in stateside, I think that there's always been, for a percentage or a segment of the population, there's a curiosity around Africa, and it's on, for a lot of people, it's on their bucket list. And so when they have someone like myself that was living there, it was like, oh, this is my opportunity. Let me go ahead and just do it now. Yeah. So pricing varies, and I'll talk about pricing in a second. But like the typical route, like if I'm flying from Chicago to Tanzania, is usually Chicago to Amsterdam to Tanzania. That's usually the route. And so the Chicago to Amsterdam is about 8 hours. That's about an 8-hour flight. And I always travel tip. If I'm traveling abroad, or I'm traveling from Chicago to Tanzania, I'm going to book the flight where I leave at 10 p.m., 11 p.m.
Wow.
to just sleep. That's the time I usually sleep. And so I go to sleep, and then I wake up, and I'm in Amsterdam.
Yeah.
That's just one of the tips. So I book it that way. When my parents have come to visit me and I book their flights, that's exactly how I book it. That's tip number one. And then secondly, if you have the time for it, why not just hang out in Amsterdam for a day or two?
Absolutely. Why not? Right?
Why not? Why not?
Just
to break that trip up, because like I said, it's from Chicago to Amsterdam, 8 hours, and then Amsterdam down another 8 hours, roughly. So you're looking at 16, 17 hours instead of doing all of that at once.
Mm-hmm.
Break it up, book the flight at night so you can sleep through the first one, and then, and chill in Amsterdam for a day or two, and then continue your journey. So 16, 17 hours is like the average travel time. And then on pricing, it can vary. I've seen pricing that has been under $1,000, like $800, which is anytime you can get a flight to Africa from stateside for under $1,000, that's a win. That's a total win. If you could get it under $1,000. But on average, it's usually about $1,200, $1,300, something like that. Now, pricing is a little bit like now and going forward, it's a little bit skewed, and the market is like, it's resetting itself, and you have airlines trying to get back into the game and running all types of specials. I think Qatar, right, even right now as we speak, has flights under $1,000. So, and Qatar is another hub where you can fly like from a Chicago or New York to Doha and then to Africa. Yep.
Okay. So that's why you seem so well rested today. That's really smart. I would have never thought about that, like flying at night to sleep during the flight. The way you wake up, you're fresh.
Definitely. Okay. Definitely.
Oh, wow. Okay. Oh, I was about to ask you one more question. It slipped my mind that quick. Right. We were talking about the flights and going over to Amsterdam. So you can stay just like a day or two in Amsterdam. You can book your flight like that?
I think you would have to put it a multi-city trip when you're booking online. Or if you're calling in, you let them know exactly what you want to do. But yeah, you would just, it'll just really pretty much be 2 one-way tickets essentially, where you are flying to Amsterdam. And then you'll have to have a little bit more of a budget to be able for your lodging, your hotel, or your Airbnb in Amsterdam. But it's worth it. It's a cool way to add another country to your experience, add another country to your belt. And people who come to Yacht Week East Africa, they do it all the time. You can fly through Amsterdam. You can fly through Ethiopia. You can fly through Dubai. A lot of people do the Dubai one, where you go to Dubai and hang out in Dubai and then come to the Seychelles. So yeah, there's a lot of that.
Okay. I do want to give a shout out to, are you familiar with Airfordable? Have you heard of
Airfordable? No, I don't know Airfordable.
It's actually a black owned company from Chicago. Okay. And they pretty much let you put your tickets on layaway.
Okay.
And you can buy your airplane tickets and pay on it as you go.
Yep.
And you get it, they take it directly out of your bank account and you just pay it up until it's time for you to go, which is really cool.
No, I like that. Yeah, anything that help make the travel planning and the cost associated with it easier to manage. And yeah, if there's a layaway system, I recommend try, instead of going through like third parties that try to create some package for you and then they add a margin to it, try designing it on your own, where you get your own, you book your own flight, and then you do your own lodging. Airbnbs are always a good look, in my opinion, and just cheaper and more authentic than hotels. And then a lot of these trips is good to plan ahead. So people going to Yacht Week East Africa this year, like they're a year in advance, they just are paying, they worry about the flight a little later when they get closer to the trip, and then they just pay on the trip every month and then spread the payments out over time.
Okay, so you hear the music playing, that's the segue a little bit. So
okay,
this is the passport confessions. So on this podcast we have a segment called Passport Confessions. Everybody has a story to tell. And you have already told us that you had already added pages to your passport. So I know you have some good stories. So with Passport Confessions, your story, it can be anything. It can be a raunchy story that you want to share. It can be an innocent story. It can be a scary story, a cautionary tale like, hey, don't do this. Be aware. But everybody has a story. So delight us with your passport confession. I want to hear it.
Passport confessions. That sound, that's,
yes,
that's
make it good. Let us know, who is Kelsey? How does Kelsey get down?
No, I think that, I have been around quite a bit, like in different countries and such. And trying to think of a story, a crazy story. I'll tell you one story. This particular story happened in, which country was this? This was in Turkey. This was in Turkey. I was actually, in the city of Istanbul. In the city of Istanbul, Turkey.
Okay. We're in Istanbul, Turkey. Okay.
And this was a few years back, and I was on my way from Tanzania to the Yacht Week event in Europe. But I had I was doing also the strategy that I just mentioned. Like, I had to go through Istanbul, so why not just at Istanbul to your belt and just hang out in Istanbul. So anyway, I was always research and find out what's going on in the town, in the city or whatnot. Found a place where they were playing hip hop music at this, at a club. I ended up going to the place. When I arrived, it was like a special event there. So that event, the hip hop that I was looking forward to just wasn't happening. But I ran into, there was a couple other guys who looked like they were going to the place as well. And they were like, hey, this place is closed. We know of a place. If you just roll with us, we could, we're from here. Oh, you, it already sounds a little sketchy, huh?
Yeah.
But they were like, no, we know a place. They seem like cool guys. And they also look like they were going to the same place and got turned around because of this special event. And so anyway, so they were like, oh, we know this other place. So we go to this other place. We go to the other place. It seemed like they knew the owners or whatever. So we go into the place. We have a seat. There's a table waiting for us. And we're getting like this special treatment. Just bottles being sent over, champagne being sent over. Just people, like it felt like the attention was on our table. Everybody wanted to hang out and hover around the table. So long story short, we've been there for a few hours and just hanging out. And then the bill came. Yes.
Separate checks.
Okay. Well, yeah, exactly, right? But no, the bill, it was one bill, and guess what? It was all, they gave me the bill. And is all right. Of this, and this was like a kind of a, like a Russian mafia type place. They had their security everywhere. Now, here I am from Chicago, far away from home. It's different if I was in downtown Chicago or somewhere and someone tried to pull that, I would have some options. But in Istanbul, those options are not there. And the bill was about $3,000. About $3,000. And I probably spent, I'm being like on the high end, I probably spent maybe $300 maybe over the few hours. But this was like this huge bill that they put on me. And so it was a big deal, but I ended up having to pay it. Again, you're looking at cultural differences, you're looking at, and so they saw me as the boss of that table, and everybody's with me. Everybody's rolling with me. Everybody that came to hang out at that table. And I chalked it up as a learning experience. It was a learning experience. But the funny thing is, as I'm walking back to my place, to my Airbnb, a brother also from the States, he was like, hey, bro, did they just try to get you for some money in there? Did they just try to get you? I said, yeah. And then he was like, forget this. We getting your money back. We getting your money back, because he said they tried to do it the same thing to him about an hour or two before me. And he plot twist, exactly. So he said, no, forget that. We getting your money back. We know they can't be taking advantage of us like that. We getting your money back. And me, I had already chalked it up as a loss and a learning experience. And now at this point, it's 2 a.m. It's 2 a.m. I'm like, I have a flight leaving at 7 a.m. I'm like, let me just let this go. But he was like, no, we getting your money back. Long story short, he took me to a guy that knew another guy who had some type of authority over the owner of that club.
Okay.
So I don't know how, to this day, I still keep in touch with the guy. I've never asked him, who are these people that, but he somehow,
doesn't matter.
He had a guy that knew a guy that made a phone call and that pretty much told him, come back in and bring this guy his money back. And do you know, in 10 minutes, he pulled up with the card machine in his hand and asking for my card to credit my card, the full amount that I spent. That blew my mind. Blew my mind. So it was just a crazy little travel story. Definitely a lessons learned. Separate checks, like you mentioned. don't crowd around me ordering drinks. I'm over here by myself. And like I said, separate checks, learning experience. But the guy is a brother. He's from Atlanta. And I always told him that I owe him one. I definitely still owe him one because he saved my trip. And I was on my way to Europe after that. And I just had a lot more money to for holiday because he intervened. So I was really happy about that.
Oh, won't he do it? Won't he will? Man, that's an amazing story because not only did they get you, but then you ended up getting your money back. And so he was watching, like, let me take care of him and make sure he's good. That's an amazing story. That's definitely a passport confession. That's amazing. And you're in Istanbul. I would not have, they listen to hip hop out there.
Oh, definitely.
Was it a lot of, did you see a lot of people, African-Americans out there?
I didn't see a lot of African-Americans. And it is true, like, you don't see Black folks everywhere. But, yeah, hip hop. In those travels I talked about, I can almost always find a hip hop vibe in most countries. That's just how global it is. Yeah. I've been able to find it for sure.
That was an amazing story. Thank you. I can't wait. I'll have to share that with my husband. Okay, so we're going to start to wrap this up. And I want to thank you so much for coming on. But before we go, I did promise the audience that you would share some of your tips and tricks that you use when you travel. And we already know one of them. No, we know two.
Yep.
When you're traveling overseas, travel at night. And then two, do not party with people you don't know just drinking and ordering bottles. So what are some of your other famous or favorite apps that you use and travel tricks that you use?
So, yeah, that was one that I like to, when going overseas, I like to travel at night for that first leg. And so I can just rest during the first leg of the trip. Like I said, I like to break trips up and add another country to your belt. If I'm en route somewhere and I need to stop somewhere, why not stop there and just explore for a day or two? So I definitely do that. I like to design my own trips. So I know that there's a lot of packages out there and stuff. And sometimes some packages are at a discount and those are worth looking into. But generally speaking, I don't want any third party to add a margin to my package. So I like to book my flights and my Airbnb and my things separately and on my own. So that's another thing that I do. I use the Kayak app. It's for flights. It's the flight that aggregates like all of the different airlines and such. And I'll do my initial research there. And then once I identify the flight, then I'll go directly to that website and book it. So I'll do that. And then I know there's other like cool tips too. If you can, there's certain credit cards that you can get that will offer you points or miles for every dollar that you spend. And I know a lot of people that actually do that and where it was money that they were going to spend for their monthly expenses anyway. They just charge it on the credit card and then pay it from their bank account every month. But those dollars that you spent are miles that can accumulate and be used for a free flight or something like that.
Smart.
Yep. So those are just a couple things that come to mind.
Okay. So a couple quick questions before you go. Besides Tanzania and East Africa, what are three of your other favorite travel spots?
Yes.
Travel locations.
I will keep it in Africa, the first one, and say Johannesburg is another city that I enjoy, and I like visiting Johannesburg. That is, when you think about just coming from Chicago and living in a city environment in Africa, when I'm in Africa, I like to experience that as well. And I would say that Johannesburg, Nairobi, and Lagos, Nigeria. So Johannesburg, South Africa, Nairobi, Kenya, and Lagos, Nigeria are three places that have the most energy and pulse and vibrancy in Africa. And it gives you that big city feel. Yeah, but those are three that stand out to me. And I'm a promoter of Africa and Africa travel, so I'll just leave it there.
I love it. Okay, well, Kelsey, it has definitely been a pleasure speaking with you and learning so much about Yacht Week East Africa. You got me really excited. I love to cruise and I love to explore. I love the experience. I love an adventure. So now after speaking with you, I'm like, I think this is something we definitely need to do. I definitely have a group of friends and we can get a yacht. That would be fun.
That would be fun.
So what time do you typically cruise? When do you sail out? When does this happen? Is it once
usually
a year,
is
twice a year?
It, Yeah, you right now is once a year. There have been years where we've done multiple throughout the year, but for 2021, it will be one time, and that will be in September. September is our sailing time. Yeah.
September when?
September 3rd through the 12th.
That's my birthday.
Oh, really? Okay.
I do it. See, I told you, won't you do it? Yeah. I'm just saying, I need to do something for my birthday. What do I want to do? Where do I want to go?
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah.
Yeah. Look into it. Check it out. Yachtweekea.com. Check it out. Reach out to me if you have any follow-up questions or anything like that. But it's definitely a unique experience, and it's just a interesting, unique way, different way to explore Africa. It gives you another lens through which you could see Africa. I think you'll love it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Kelsey. This has very interesting conversation with you. I'm looking forward to seeing more and joining you on this.
Yes, you're more than welcome. More than welcome.
And are you happy to be home in Chicago right now?
I am. Always happy to be home. Always.
So what's the first thing you're going to get to eat?
Let's see. Maybe an Italian beef.
It's a lot different from, what was it called? Soto and...
The Sato and Makange sauce. Yes, Sato, it's a different experience. Sauce. Yeah.
All right. So we're going to go ahead and wrap this up. Thank you so much, Kelsey, for taking a quick trip with the Coolest Chick. And we'll see you next time. If you want to know more about Yacht Week East Africa, it is Yacht Week Eat. You can follow up more. Thank you, Kelsey.
Thank you, Terrica. You take care.
You too.
All right. Bye.